Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Also, folks, usually Tim Dunn does this part of the ad. He is stuck in Orlando, Florida. Not going to get into why someone gets stuck in Orlando, Florida, but he's stuck there. I've been tasked to read the ad, which means I'm probably going to ramble for a little while, so I apologize for that in advance. One thing you can do to help me not ramble so much is to go onto iTunes and in your little search bar, look up Talking Games and leave us a review on iTunes. I'd always appreciate that. If we get a review, we always read it. And folks, we've been hankering for something to read here at the top of the episode for a little while now. So please, let's hear some reactions to this election. I'm sure you got some hot takes you'd love us to dive into. Also, you can go to Patreon.com. Nope, Patreon didn't show up. I'm sorry about that, folks. You can go to Patreon.com and type in the Nerdalogs. They're the people who got us, helped us get our start here. And they're just trying to get some things going here in Chicago. You can find them there and toss them a couple dollars. If you're looking for other great podcasts, you can go to the Chicago Podcasting Co-op and find lots of other fun shows to check out. One of my favorite shows is MBSing. I was on one of the MBSing episodes talking about coffee. And if you're ever interested in hearing me ramble on some about coffee, you can find it there. Can't really think of anything else. Again, this is going to be a Timless episode. So if you're not really interested in listening to Clayton and I talk, definitely I'd say just leave that review and say more Tim. Anyways, folks, hope you enjoy the episode. And I hope this has helped you understand something about yourself. Here's the episode.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this so far because, man, it's just going up from here. It's Talking Games with Clayton Margeson. Yeah, there it is. There's all those noises that I love that happen every time I say my full fucking name.
Say it again.
Yeah. I'm talking Clayton. Well, it's not even done yet. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
I'm talking Clayton sounds like a great podcast.
Well, it's not just me, Colin.
No.
That's the beautiful thing about it because you're also here.
Hey!
Hey, who are you?
It's me, Kellen Terrace.
Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
This is it, folks. You've hit gold in the podcast world.
A podcast without Tim Dunn. It's what we all strive for. It's why every famous podcast is famous, because they don't have Tim on there. No, Tim is out this week. Tim thought he was buying plane tickets for 7:30 p.m. Turns out there was 7:30 a.m.
No, it's the opposite. He thought he was getting it in the a.m.
Oh, yep, you're right.
Yeah, because that would suck, because that means he missed his flight. Instead, his flight had not left from its original location. So
yeah, he was off by but a mere 12 hours.
Yes.
So he's missing out on us talking to, who is it?
Hey guys, it's Sean Pizik.
No, come on, Sean!
Way to get into the spirit of things.
Get into it.
Been on the show twice, have not seen Tim Dunn,
no.
And honestly don't believe that he exists.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what, folks. Most people have never truly met Tim Dunn. They've met a shell of a human being who projects himself to be Tim Dunn, but...
Oh, my God.
Who is
so
Tim
mean.
Dunn? No. It's just the idea, like, I mean, is it a Don Draper situation? I mean...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or is it like Harry Crumb?
Exactly.
Like, who is Harry Crumb?
Who is
I don't Harry fucking Crumb? Know. I haven't
Not
seen
sure.
it.
No.
But we're going to talk this week about games. I thought that'd be a nice change of pace.
Hey, why not, you know?
But we talk with people in the comedy community here in Chicago and stuff like that. In case you're wondering, what is this podcast? And if you're wondering that, please go listen to a different episode. Because this is not a good one to start out on.
Podcast without Tim Dunn.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be amazed at the results. Judge John Hodgman is on there. Other stuff.
It's oddly enough that most of those do SEO searches to make sure that Tim Dunn is not part of that as well.
it's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard to pull off.
Yeah.
But we always start the same way, though, which is what are we playing this week?
Mm-hmm.
Kellen, what are you playing this week, my man? Hold on.
Let's talk with our guest.
I want to ask Sean first. Yeah, Sean, I'm so used to us not having a guest that
we're used to jumping that way.
So Sean, do it this way, yeah.
Sean, thank you first off for joining us. Tell us, what have you been playing this week?
Okay, well, I have been away for a week, but 2 weeks ago, the last time I was playing games, I was playing Witcher 3.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great game.
Nicole is crazy on that right now.
I started it way back when, kind of got so many hours in, stopped for a while, came back, and just couldn't keep playing, so I had to start over eventually, and I did, and I'm...
Yeah, I feel like that's what happened to me. I took some time off of it, and I came back, and I was like, fuck, where am I? What am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And I knew most of it, but I was like, I really feel like I need to start over to, like... respect
Damn.
My character
yeah.
and
wow.
It's not going to be a bad game to replay though.
No, it is so great. I'm on a second playthrough myself. Yeah.
Playing Gwent again and like
isn't Gwent the best?
It's the best,
folks. You should play some Gwent.
It's oh,
I legit think Gwent is like really strategically satisfying.
I have this like kind of siege.
Very cool.
Northern Build. Deck going on. That's like real strong.
Oh, Temerian gets some blue stripes in that.
Spies
bitch.
Are overpowered, man.
Way overpowered.
Yeah.
Folks, Gwent is a card game within this other game that most people will suck probably another 10, 15 hours into
Gwent. It's so fun,
I mean, they
though.
Have that standalone game now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how long that stands alone on its own.
And we were talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. Gwent is not rewarded with, like, spoiler alert, with, like, the best weapons or, like, the best Witcher gear, which I'm really happy about.
It's just a thing in the game. It's just...
There's no monetary... There's occasional monetary, but not really reward for it.
And there are fun quests associated with it, but... Like, people who don't like Gwent will not miss, like,
yeah, it's not like you get a special ending if you have all the Gwent cards.
I like mini games that are like that can be siloed a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other game I was playing was Titanfall 2, which I heard you guys talking about.
Yeah, brother.
We're going to have some Titanfall talk right now.
Oh, man. It's so good.
The multiplayer is so good, too. I don't know if you got into
it. Yeah, I'm huge. I'm, like, level 40, dude. Oh, I'm crazy into it.
I think I'm upper 20s. And it was my brother got Battlefield 1. I was thinking about it.
Battlefield 1's really fun.
I played the beta, but I was just like, I don't want a game that's just the same. It's just the same as Battlefield. You know, it's more the same.
Vince
returned
it. Vince Portage, friend of the show. He bought it. Played a little bit, returning, he's like, it was not fun. You know, but now he's on Titanfall, too, and he loves it. So
Modern Warfare came out, like, don't even bother with that game anymore.
Nobody cares about that game
now. Haven't played it really since it was, like, World War II style. And then Titanfall 2, you have the, like, running on the walls, like, dynamic movement that just, like, really changes the first-person shooter that everyone's used to up, and it's, I really like it.
Yeah. I like the original Titanfall a lot, too, and got really into the multiplayer, but, like, none of my friends were playing it.
Where did you play it?
On
is it
PC.
A PC? Oh,
yeah, and I was, and so I got real twitchy and, like, real into it, and I was like, oh, this shit's fucking tight. Yeah. And then all at once, you know, it fell out of favor because it was, like, no one I knew was playing it, so no one was
And nobody
in
general was playing it. Like, I mean, they had to shut a bunch of the
That's
servers
true.
Down because
yeah.
there just wasn't a people on.
I was one of those people. I was an early abandoner, I think, because, you know, it's like I played like a few months and then I'm like, all right, I'm bored. Whatever, you move on.
Are you playing on PS4?
I'm playing on PS4 now.
I'm playing on PC because I just don't like shooters on consoles. But...
I don't either, but Nicole has hijacked my computer to play Witcher 3 all the fucking time.
There
so, no, it's great, though. I'm so happy that she's loving this game so much.
So those are the two games I've been playing.
That's good. Well, we'll talk about some more Titanfall. Because I've been playing some Titanfall and Battlefield.
Well, I want to talk about that for sure.
Yeah.
But, Kellen, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Titanfall.
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much. I started playing Battlefield again last night because playing the campaign in Titanfall was really, really fun. And then I started playing multiplayer, and Clayton and I were playing the other day, and we were having some connectivity issues.
Oh, like, I had some bad lag.
Yeah, and, like, that was kind of not fun.
That was a one-time thing, though, Kellen. Yeah. I gotta let you know. It didn't mean anything.
No, I get that.
I'm very reliable. I don't know what the problem was.
That's all right, Clayton. I'm not going to pass judgment on you.
All right.
And you're
don't hold it against
play.
Me, podcast listeners.
No, no. I think Titanfall is really fun, but there was something about Battlefield 1 that I kept coming back to in terms of, like, I like objective-based gameplay. Like, I want there to be, like, beyond just go out there and kill guys. I want it to be like, cool, let's do this, which is why I like Overwatch so much, where it's like, all right.
Well, they have those modes in Titanfall.
Yeah. Now, Bounty Hunt is the only mode that I play, and it's a lot. Have you guys played that?
I haven't.
I only do attrition.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. On Titanfall 2, Bounty Hunt is so cool because it's two teams, and there's waves of NPC enemies that spawn on kind of like a timer, and then between each wave, you have time to kind of go to the bank and put money in.
So there's this MOBA aspect to it. It feels a little bit like Battleborn, because I heard that way, where you're spending money within the realm of Battleborn.
Well, you're not spending the money, you are gathering it, but it is kind of like that, in that like there's this alternative objective, and like you can kill the other team, but you'll lose the game if you focus on only killing the other team. I like that.
I'm going to have to try that, because that sounds really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't even touched that mode. Wow.
I really like the gunplay in it. I love the, again, like you said, Sean, the dynamic gameplay about being able to run around. The Titans, I'm really not too interested in so much. I like being really scrappy and running around. But I think it's just because I'm not in a Titan I really like so much. In the game itself, when I'm playing the campaign, like that second gun you get, I'm like, this is all I need.
Tone?
The Tone, yeah.
Tone is all I use.
Tone's the best gun in multiplayer.
Yeah, this other stuff, I'm like, I don't need this other stuff. I don't need a shotgun or a rocket launcher. Just give me the Tone.
The sword one, it's not great.
Yeah.
Most of what I do with Titanfall 2 when I'm in a Titan is just punching fucking pilots or running them over. I do it all the time, and it is the most fun.
Nice.
Because your reach is just a little bit too far with that punch. So like in like an area I shouldn't be able to get to, I can kind of bend over and just punch, and just close enough. Oh, it's the greatest.
That's annoying, Kill Cam, when the Titan's like squatting down in the in the doorway of the building. Yeah. I'm like, come on. Yeah. I'm in the building.
That's supposed to be fair, that way.
I don't normally do that. Yeah, that's a little too ruthless for my taste.
A little aggressive that way. No, Titanfall 2 is really great. And folks, if you are interested in Titanfall 2, you can go to Target or Best Buy right now, and it's $35, which is pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
I've also been playing Battlefield again, and I think Battlefield is really, really fun.
I think a big reason why they cut the prices on those is because they're trying to gut Modern Warfare bad. And it seems like they may have done it, which is crazy.
I bought both of the games. I have both of the games that way. You know, and I bought both of them. So it's like I got two.
Well, they're both by EA.
EA is like, great, let's fucking stick it to them.
So smart. And such a smart move. I gotta say. They're ruthless.
It's a bummer for Titanfall, though. It feels like Titanfall is just an end to a means, and that they're like, hey, we have Battlefield 1. We're banking on that. Mm-hmm. We'll throw Titanfall out there to try to scoop up as much people as we can. But, you know, they're gonna do what they're gonna do.
Yeah. I mean, it's good IP, and I imagine Activision was probably banking on having Destiny this year, and the fact that they said we can't do that. So it's like, all right, well, they already made their money in terms of the expansion that way, but they're not going to be making any more money that way. So I don't know what Activision's going to do, because, like, what? Guitar Hero, that's another Activision game. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. I can't think of any other sort of major IP that they have.
Yeah, they're starting. It is interesting.
Is it Activision Blizzard, or what is it? Isn't Blizzard now connected with someone?
I thought Blizzard had separated from Activision. Maybe. I'm mistaken.
Maybe I'm wrong. I remember. Who knows?
I can't keep up with
it. It's hard to keep track of that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
Comcast probably owns all of it, so who knows?
Yeah. What else have you been playing?
Okay, so I've also been playing this game. You guys got to check it out. Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2.
I'm really sorry.
I expected this. It would not be an episode.
Now, I got to tell you guys, things got crazy. We boarded a train.
Oh, a train.
Okay.
Yeah.
They use trains in a world where there's also giant robots.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you? Right?
No, I would just be in the giant
robot.
There's
airships.
All the time.
There's giant trains, robots.
Airships.
If there was a giant robot today, I'd never leave the giant robot.
That's fair, but you have to have a whole bathroom and shit in there. You know, it'd just be bad.
I don't care.
Okay, so I get on this train and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be one of those iconic JRPGs on a train scenes, like your Final Fantasy VII's or your Final Fantasy the 3/6 or whatever, like all the ones with trains. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Here we go.
And it's just like four fights at the front. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, there was no exploration at all. Oh, man. It's really too bad.
Kind of lame.
I don't know what this game is. Like, I listened to the podcast.
Okay.
Thank you for being
It's a JRPG that is, the first one was Well, all right. So there's the series called the Trails series, and they are very, very Japanese and like kind of old school because a lot of them were made a while ago. This game, for example, that I'm playing now is on like PlayStation 3. It just came out like a couple months ago. So all these games are hilarious and great. And I really like the Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky series, which is on PC and just came out kind of recently in the US, but is like all like totally translated. It's kind of nuts how much you're like, wait, I think I missed another thing in translation there, but that's okay. And this series, Trails of Cold Steel, is like set in the same universe or the same world, but not the same characters as the Trails in the Sky series. And I'm like, oh, this is so great. I love this.
Just more of it.
Yeah. But every game is like really bad about ending on like a cliffhanger. Because they're like, all right, now play that second
What's
game.
What's going to happen
next?
What
is wrong with you? Yeah, but this one's been a lot of fun so far. But it's also like the getting the band back together game, which...
It's your Ocean's 11, 12? Ocean's 12 situation.
Ocean's 12, yeah. Yes. But it is surprisingly satisfying and at the same time, because a lot of crazy fucking shit goes down. The pace of this game is nuts.
I mean,
you're like liberating another country every day. You're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Sounds absolutely wonderful, Clayton.
It is a blast. I'm having a great time.
I'm so happy you found this series that has brought you so much happiness.
I've yet to see anybody else talk about this series or play this series, so I'm glad someone in the United States is championing it.
Dude, and let me tell you, it's fucking, it's fantastic. Yes. It is so much
fun. I have
fun.
No doubt.
But I'm also playing Tyranny.
Yes.
I've heard about
this.
I have not looked at anything
about
it.
Dude, it is very dense and interesting. It is a true CRPG.
This is Pillars of Eternia, right?
Yeah. Pillars of Eternia, same engine. They changed the spells from being like a per encounter or per rest to cooldowns.
Very cool.
People are not happy about that, I guess.
Why? I don't give a shit.
I don't know. Because old school CRPGs are like, guys are like, oh no, they're like dumbing it down. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, and some of them are still per rest, like the big skills. And I'm like, that's kind of cool to have.
But you could also just rest a lot if you wanted to, right? Arguably.
Yeah, well, you have camping supplies, but they're everywhere. So I don't know anybody who has a problem getting camping supplies.
Because I recently played Divinity Original Sin and really like that. Is in the same vein? I played a little bit of Pillars and then I kind of stopped.
No, it's more like Pillars. Okay. I mean, it's the same creative team, I think. Yeah. And I'm really digging it. Like, the kind of conceit is that the world has already been conquered by this immortal woman, the Overlord Kairos.
Of course, it's a woman. Come on.
But Gamergate
trigger.
Come on.
All right, pause for effect. You guys both drank at the exact same time. It was amazing.
Your characters are evil, right, too? Is that a thing or no? I thought that was
pretty much, yeah.
You could be.
You're evil, but you can be the kind of evil that's like, you know, Driss Jordan in that first, in the like book when he's still like a little drow boy where it's like, I'm evil, but I don't understand. I don't want to be, you know, that sort of thing. Or you can be
kind of like
totally ruthless.
Nice.
Like there, and you have these sort of like chaotic evil and I guess sort of more like lawful evil generals that you can side with. And the chaotic evil one is so much fucking fun.
There
I can't help it.
There you go.
The other guy's like too stern and like by the book. I'm like, fuck this guy, man. I want to be evil. And this other dude's like laughing. He's like the Joker and shit. Yeah, he's got like a scepter he's always twirling around. And also he's the spy master. And they're all like super powerful magicians. So his deal is he can see through other people. He has like vessels all over the world.
Oh, wow.
So at all times he's like seeing with many faces. And his name's like the Thousand Voices of Neurot or something like that.
That's amazing.
It is so cool, right? And I'm like, I'm kind of siding with this guy, even though I know he's like the most evil and will probably try to betray me. But I'm like, I'm going to get in good with this guy. I'm going to fuck him over.
Yep.
I'm
going
to take his place. This is going to be the most fun. But they also keep saying, like, and this is just a weird thing. Yeah, it's like his crew is like the rabble, the huge horde that like are totally chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So they like go and murder and kill everybody. But they keep saying, like, it's like, you're just like a bunch of murderers and rapists. And I'm like, don't throw that fucking word. Come on, man.
Come on.
Like, I don't need to be associated with this right now. Like, you're already a video game. I don't know. That part, I'm like, oh, I don't want. You're making it real tough for me right now, game. But otherwise, it's great. But it's just like, what are you doing, man? I don't want to deal with this.
No.
Shut up.
Just
stop talking about it.
Just let you
don't
be.
Put that on me.
Just a murderer. You don't have to do that.
No. Just murder. Murder's so bad. Just leave it there.
People are going to normalize that murdering, you know? Like, whatever. He's a murderer.
Yeah, don't
it's
use
fine.
Murder to take the edge off the other thing you wanted to say. Man, that's fucked up. Anyway, but other than that, ringing endorsement for Tyranny.
Awesome. Okay. It looks great. It looks really fantastic.
So. Yeah, it is. I'm really digging it. The magic system is also quite interesting. You build spells with like different runes that you find. So you can make your spell like affect a bigger area or increase your target's accuracy as well heal them, stuff like that. It is really cool. And it's limited by your lore. So my lore skill is fucking insane. I'm having so much fun as the scholarly mage character.
Do you have to play a kind of a mage sort of build?
No, not at all. But I did because I knew this system was supposed to be really cool. Uh-huh. So I was like, all right, I really want to dick around with this a lot. And you immediately get another mage, but he's like a healer. I'm like, fuck it, I don't care about that.
Kind of sounds like a little bit Morrowind's like spell building system.
Yes.
Maybe simplify it a little bit.
Exactly. Way simplified, I think, from that. Yeah. It's more like, choose this. Here's the exact effect. You know, like, it's sort of like, you know, kind of put the puzzle pieces in and you find more runes.
No, that's cool.
I like
cool.
it. Yeah. Especially because it really is limited. And it's like, oh, I'm going to make like a long range. Oh, fuck. Now I have to be short range if I want to do this effect too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an interesting
The limitations make it so you can't just be a godlike character. You
exactly.
Like, I like that. I like that.
Oh, it's so cool. All right, but that's not what we're here to talk
about.
No. Even though we
talk
could
about,
talk about it
we
for
could.
A while.
And we probably could talk a little bit more about Titanfall as well. But we're going to talk about... Sean, you reached out to us a little while ago before we did our 24-hour stream.
Dive into madness.
Yes. Do you still feel the same sort of PTSD as you did last year when we came in? Because I have not been in the studio since we did the stream.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked in and I was like, oh, yeah, it's just a little crazy. It didn't feel like when we did the stream last year and then I walked in, I was like,
oh, I felt disgust. Yeah,
yeah,
I was like, oh, God, I farted
again.
In this room.
This
so
I was like,
much.
Oh, yeah, just you know.
I did watch a little bit of, was it in here?
It was in here,
Okay, I watched a little bit of it. I checked back like at like 2 or 3 a.m. to see like how it was going and then kind of just went to bed. But it was fun. I saw you guys play some fun stuff.
Awesome games.
Yeah, we did have a blast. Mm-hmm. I think it was also more fun this year.
It was a lot more fun this year. No offense to our guests who were there last year, but we had a lot more fun this year.
So. Yeah, I think we had guests for longer.
Much,
was the big,
much
big thing. Yeah,
like downtime where it's just you guys.
Yeah. We also had a lot less technical issues. It was a bit, it went a lot better. So thank you for the support. But we want to talk to Sean about a game he reached out to us about, Mafia 3. Now, I've not played any of the Mafia games.
I have not either, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize.
I mean, open world games in general, but I was playing Mafia 3 at the time. Mafia 2 is the only other Mafia game I've played, and it's like, it's really good. And just to set like what Mafia was, it's like Mafia 2 is set during World War II. You come back, and it's a very much like, I mean, it's like a Rockstar open world game in that vein.
Sure.
And you come back and
you're
a little
bit more serious though, right?
Definitely more serious. The Mafia 2 game, I was reading about it and you know, it was really hyped up on the side quest stuff and they couldn't do a lot of that. So they just really focused on the story. Mm-hmm. So you come back from World War II, you meet your old friend who you messed around with and did, you know, crimes when you were before you went to war.
Petty crimes. Yeah. You're just a young kid.
Steal some things. Almost
kill
some people.
You're not gonna go on
people.
A bender. No,
man.
The whole city.
No.
No.
And I think you got sentenced to go to. I think he did something. You got caught. He kind of escaped, and that's how you went to World War II.
Oh man.
And so you come back, and then you kind of join the mob, and it's like your path through the mafia. But it's not like Grand Theft Auto, where like you're not becoming the boss of the mob. Like it's these. You just have these like story missions. There's really not a lot of side missions going on. Like,
so you're just a goon for the mob, or
you start as a goon and you kind of move up to maybe like a
like a capo.
Not even. You're always pretty much a goon. You're just a more respected goon later on.
Wow, interesting.
Which is interesting. It's not like you're not becoming like the mob boss of New York, and it's like a very hard hitting story and like. All this kind of shit happens, like, you know, people die, people get betrayed,
oh, wow,
and it's
okay.
like, the
All
story
right.
is very good. Like, if anyone, at the time, I don't think people liked it a lot, but in hindsight, I think a lot of people liked the game, that it has a really solid story, like, solid kind of Grand Theft Auto-like open world mechanics that they do really well, and, you know, the shooting's okay, but it's just, this, like, the ending is not, it's just not, it's not like the end of Grand Theft Auto 5, where, like, you know, spoiler, you know, push the car into the ocean and live happy ever after. Like, this, the ending is kind of fucked up. You know, like, huh, well, cool, I guess.
More bleak.
It's like, it's a really good, almost like, it's just a really hard-hitting story that I enjoyed. So Mafia 3, there's all this buildup of, like,
Linking Clay, and
it's you're coming back from the Vietnam War.
Linking Clay, everybody. Yeah. And, what a name.
And
young African-American in New Orleans,
New Bordeaux.
Yeah.
But they were, quote-unquote, like Vice City, same deal, you know. And it was, it looked really good. Vito Scaletta, who is the protagonist from Mafia 2, is a sub-boss in this game, which I feel was unnecessary. It's like, hey, remember that guy in the game?
That's so weird.
Yeah, he was sent to New Bordeaux because, you know, he's like a rowdy guy, and they didn't like him up here, and now he's here, and now you get to meet him again, which is like,
but
I didn't need
continuity.
That.
Come on, people
that's
love
so
that
dumb.
Stuff.
And now he's older and harder.
Oh, and look, by the way, you know, little Anakin Skywalker built C-3PO. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
I hate that shit.
And so the game, the base game plays like, you know, it's a beautiful game, but like Lincoln Clay comes back. The Italian mob in New Bordeaux betray the black mob, you know, kill your quote-unquote family.
Oh, boy.
Of course, he's an orphan. And
so his literal family or
his crime family,
but also kind of his real, as much of a family as he has.
All right. I wasn't sure.
And
I don't know much about the mob.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
You don't know that much about the mob?
I really don't. I don't know. I didn't
I don't know anybody who doesn't know that much about the mob.
But I don't. I don't know what it is. I'm just like, you know, all right. It's the
mob. Man. My dad loves the mob. My dad's like one of those guys is like, he like wishes he was from New York, so he just loves the mob so much, and it's so weird.
The history, like the movies, like that
the history.
Kind of stuff?
Yeah, he's like, you know, oh, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, like that was crazy. But you know what led up to it? And he's telling me, I'm like, all right, like this sounds like a bunch of criminals, like doing criminal stuff.
Yeah,
right. That's all it really is.
It's always seemed that way to me.
But he likes the respect aspect of it, and the movies and stuff. I'm sure, like really inflame that version of it. But yeah, the problem I have with it is always, just like, well, I don't get it. Why isn't the people who are the sneakiest win all the time? You know, it's like, why do they have this whole structure going on?
Right.
Sean, do you have an idea why?
I don't know.
Okay, I guess we'll never know.
Oh, no, this was a rhetorical one.
Maybe
it seemed like I wanted to have a debate about what the mob's all about.
It looked like it was
not the case.
The one thing about the mob that's curious to me is that it's like this holdover from another country that, like, from Italy that came here and started, like, that's what's crazy to me. Like, that it's this entire organization that, like, seemingly probably exists over there, but then shifted focus, and then all the movies that we know of and like kind of media focuses the American mob.
Organized crime in general makes very little sense to me.
I never understood.
But it makes sense in a comic book. It makes sense in a video game. But the idea that there really is organized crime in real life, it always means like, but why? Like you know you're a bad guy and you do this. It's like, how do you live with your... The larger sort of odd question.
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, sort of removing yourself from what it really is kind of deal going on with it. That, I feel like these games are always like, but this is what it's really like. And it's like, I get it, though. I get that it's super violent.
What else would it be? This game is super violent. Like, Lincoln Clay is just this killing machine. And, you know, he's betrayed, left for dead, of course. They couldn't, like, you know... The person who killed him didn't feel like double tapping him, like, you know, he left, you know, shot him in the head, but it, you know, it grazed his skull and he survived.
And they were like, good enough.
And exactly. Good enough. And
leave it, John. Enough. John, we gotta go, man.
And there's some really cool things to this game. Like the story, the way they tell it is interspersed with this like almost documentary footage of like this kind of interview with a priest, and there's this like almost Senate committee talking to his friend from Vietnam who's like a CIA agent who helps him take down the mob. Like, you know, Lincoln Clay wakes up in the church and he survived, and he calls up his CIA friend from Vietnam, is like, hey, come to New Bordeaux, we got some work to do. And he comes and sets up a whole operation where, you know,
I remember seeing a quick look by like Giant Bomb for this game, and that was where I was like, I'm out. Yeah. There's a CIA agent helping me.
But it's kind of cool. Like the story is like being told really in an interesting way. But at the end of
like
the day...
Yeah, I like the rapper, yeah.
The, like, Mafia 2 had such good story quests. Like, they were kind of involved. There was a lot of implications. Like, there's one where... You know, you go to you're in the mob and you get arrested and you go to jail and you're in jail and there's, you know, classic kind of jail sequence. But you meet this guy and you eventually get out of jail in a few years. But there's a scene later on where, like, you almost have to choose to betray this, like, mentor you met in jail, and you, like, run to his house and you save him and he escapes and, like, he comes back. There's all this, like, intermingling. It's like,
sure,
so good. And
sure.
In Mafia 3, like, all
it's
the
like,
footage
go kill
is, like,
this guy.
It
yeah.
looks great. But then at the end of the day, there's like, there's almost no story missions. Like, the way it works is you have a zone of, like, influence.
Okay.
You know, you have an area in the city, and it's run by a boss. And under that boss are, like, two sub-bosses. And then each
so
of those
like
sub-bosses...
Shadows of Mordor?
But at least Shadows of Mordor, like, was
has, like,
good
that system.
And had this,
yeah.
like, system in place, and it was, like, this is a city, not a barren wasteland of orcs. These are human beings. So, you know, you have to... they have these rackets. They're all about these rackets. So, like, one
rackets.
Part
is
of it...
Is this another mob term?
Yeah,
rackets?
Or criminal
yeah.
term, okay. yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, like, your racket might be,
like I sell
embezzling
gum?
Or
oh,
something
oh,
like
okay.
that.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Sean's Yeah, but or it could be arms dealing.
Right,
arms
or prostitution.
Deal.
Or
drugs.
That's my racket.
Or,
yeah,
or drugs.
Okay,
so, like,
yeah.
there's one section, like, you know, there's a guy who's, like... bribing politicians, and there's another guy who's, like, laundering money. And so you go into that
laundering
section.
Laundering money. That's not, yeah. not
laundering money.
Laundering.
Yes. Is there
I'm
is
not
there,
good with all this crime
no, no.
stuff.
Is there, yeah. like, a racket where you set up a theater and, like, you convince people that if they pay you money that you're going to make them famous one day and, like, put them on TV with, like, Andy Dick and stuff like that? Is that a racket?
If you ask me, it is.
I haven't finished
boy.
The game. I haven't finished the game, so, you know, it's probably farther
I'm
on.
Sure that's part of it, yes.
But,
who's our sponsor this week? The I.O. Theater. Oh, Jesus.
Goodness
oh, boy.
Gracious.
Well, we'll go to our backup. Second City. Holy
whoa,
fucking
boy,
Christ.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Anyway. He's smitten all over the microphone.
Oh, my yeah. goodness. All right.
And the gameplay is you take down these rackets, and each racket has these, like, you know, you take these, you know, follow these cars around and go to this meeting location, kill everyone, or you find a drop-off point, you know, steal the money. You're trying to, like, remove money from the rackets, and then once you earn enough money, the, like, boss of that area, you know, his two underbosses are seemingly defeated. The boss of that area will be, like, kind of be like, I'm coming to town, now you can fight me.
Oh,
and then
my
you fight
God.
Him, and that's that fight is a little bit more involved, but it generally the fights that I played so far, and I've gone through like 3, 4, 5 of these sections, is like,
oh God.
Yeah, I've gone through a bunch. The fights are like, you know, go to this kind of fancy set piece and fight your way through and then probably kill him. And it's like, it's just, there's just no story missions. And it's like,
so unnuanced.
And there's like not the side missions. Like, once you defeat a racket, like, there's this, like, oh, you have to choose which underboss to give the area to. And then that unlocks things. But after you beat anything, there's no, like, cool side missions like Grand Theft Auto where it's a question marks and these weird ass, you know, there's weirdos.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, go into the bayou and steal a boat and drive that boat back. Like, I haven't gotten to the end, so, like, if this is the case, it would be a bad, you know, they really, really kept it to the late game. But, like, the rackets are just boring. Once you go through three of them, it kind of loses its touch where it's like, oh, you go to, you know, rob this pimp, kill everyone, steal all the guns, shoot the boxes that are glowy, and they gather the money, and then, you, I don't know, it just didn't...
Is there a prostitution racket that you can, like, you can free
yep.
the prostitutes?
There are, kind of, I don't know if you even free them, you kind of, you go, the what's that part of New Orleans with, like, Mardi Gras and, like,
Bourbon Street.
There's
French
a Bourbon
district.
Street district, and there's a, you know... brothels and stuff, and you go in there, and I guess you kind of, like, liberate these rent girls, and I think they run out and hopefully, you know, figure themselves out. But then your bosses come in and they start it up again. So like, you're not doing good. You're not a good person.
That's, I mean, it's the thing about this. This, and it seems like, well, yeah, you're doing good, but you're simply just putting a different person there that you put there, right? Like,
well, yeah, and then, but yeah. It just sounds like nothing really changes, right? It's just like, it's just another day in the mob.
Yeah,
like,
you're just shuffling the pieces on the board.
The design was like, oh, we have this cool map. Let's split that map into smaller sections, then put more little kind of tokens on that map for things, and then let them check off all the tokens. Like, they're just, I don't
know. It sounds like an Ubisoft game, like a Far Cry or, yeah. or like a Watch Dogs. Kind
but of. that's the gameplay aspect. Like, is the story, I guess, a little bit more? Because I know there's a lot of racial, like, charge to it, and they even have a disclaimer at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, not really. I mean, yeah, some of the, I mean, you're killing mostly white men.
I had heard that there are certain parts of, like, cities you can't go into because you are a black man. And, like, if you go into certain, like,
people will hassle you sometimes.
Really? Okay. But, like, maybe I just, that got built up a little bit more then. I think I was listening to Giant Bomb as well.
I think they did. And, like, maybe if you're walking around, there's probably some, like, if you're in a, you know, if you're go to this, you know, white neighborhood and the cops might be like, what are you doing here, boy? Like, that kind of thing. But, like, other than that, like, I don't know. It's a beautiful game. I feel like it had, I was following the kind of the footage of it, and then it just kind of really fell flat. And I feel like a lot of people, from what I tell, like, you know, it was just, like, very repetitive, which is sad because you, coming from Mafia 2, which was, you know, very much not like your typical open world game, like Far Cry, like, I think a lot of people had high hopes story-wise, and I think they had this great setting and this great idea, but the storytelling aspect really wasn't, like, implemented into the gameplay a lot. Like, they had these cool, like, documentary kind of things going on in the background, but that was just interstitials, like, it just wasn't, you didn't feel like you were, you know, it's just vengeance. You're just there killing everyone.
And it also is such a, like, it's just a formula that's been so done to death. Go to this zone, liberate this zone, like, destroy this stronghold, all that shit. I'm just so fucking sick of it because they're putting it into every game now.
And it's insane. Like, where did it start? Like, I don't even know. Like,
it was a little bit Grand Theft Auto.
They, like, pioneered
two
that.
Or
yeah.
three was when it, like, first really was, like, open world, but even that it didn't have the zones.
The zones, I think that is like a Far Cry.
I think it's Assassin's Creed's fault. I'm just gonna lay down that. I think Assassin's Creed really
yeah, its success was so much of that climbing towers and shit.
Climbing towers,
like, fuck off.
And getting flags and the zones of influence. This is like Assassin's Creed I mean, I was just. Black Flag, such a great game.
Such a great game, folks. Like, yeah, if you haven't played Black Flag, get it.
Yeah,
so good.
Absolutely.
You know, Assassin's Creed, the Ezio chain, I think they really, like, kind of
milked that for all it's worth.
Milked it, but I think by the second or third one, like, I think they had done as good as they can with what they had. Like, they had perfected the Assassin's Creed 1 formula, and then they had then it was just like, oh, we'll just do the same, and then Black Flag changed that, and then they just reverted back with, I didn't really play a lot of,
I tried Syndicate. No. Yeah, I tried it a little bit. It's just the same sort of thing. You know, it's like, man, fucking, what am I doing? I don't give a fuck about this.
But, like, Witcher 3 is arguably an open world. It's definitely an open world game. Yeah. I don't know if it's breaking the mold or it's just it's just what an open world game should be. Like, Skyrim, like, is also a great. Yeah. I would argue, I was seeing articles because, like, people are comparing Witcher 3 to Skyrim Remastered now that it's out.
Well,
not even graphic-wise, but I like, those are two open-world games that are each their own different type of open-world game and are successful at it. Yeah. But then these games trying to recreate the Assassin's Creed, Grand Theft Auto formula without the, like, professionalism and, like, kind of competence.
The ingenuity. You know, it's like we're just so done with it now.
Yeah.
It's like even if you do it well a lot of the time, if it has that liberating zone shit, man, I just like tune it out.
Yeah,
I do not care.
Yeah. Before you guys got here, I was in the studio watching someone play Watch Dogs 2 on Twitch. I have no interest in playing it, but I was watching it and I was this looks terrible.
No.
This looks absolutely terrible. It's the same thing as the rest of them. It's just Assassin's Creed, but it's, you know, in the future of modern times, it's all the same sort of stuff. And it's like, I feel that sort of Ubisoft model of let's have a big, big map and let's fill the map with stuff so it looks like there's a ton of stuff to do, but you realize you're really just doing one of six, seven different things repeated 100 different times.
Witcher 3, I was replaying it, and there's, like, a piece of, like, gear I was trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the treasure hunt quest, which normally are, you know, whatever, there's a little bit of reading. They're not the biggest story quest.
Yeah.
But it took me through the cat school quest, and I forgot that there's, like, a crazy mage who's, like, lit himself on fire and tries to kill you with the, like, Witcher's sword.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck is this? And I had kind of just lost the thread of it, and I was like, man, other games don't do this kind of crazy shit. I mean, like,
and Witcher,
I may never have gone on that quest. Yeah. Who knows?
There's so many side quests, and they're all kind of fun. And like, even like, I mean, sometimes the Witcher contracts where you're fighting monsters doesn't kind of get repetitive, but like, not. But the monsters are always kind of cool.
Yeah,
and usually like the scene where you have to investigate everything is kind of interesting. Like more stuff happened there than you would ever have guessed. And it's like, wow, I really do have like amazing like Witcher abilities.
Yeah.
And you feel a little bit like a badass, but you also feel like this weird working Joe, which is,
but
I think,
part
a really...
of being a Witcher, though, which
exactly,
I do like.
Yeah.
That, where I'm
do
like, you, no, I gotta get paid.
Do you negotiate?
I negotiate every time. 30% at least.
Yeah, yeah. I always get it. Yeah, I always, because, like, what do you get? You're gonna get angry, and then, like, as long as, who would ever sit there and make the man so angry that it's like, nah, never mind. Like, you know, he's angry once, and I'm like, all right, I'll just lower it a little bit. And then I'm like, but yeah. And the treasure hunts, like, there is lore there. Like, there's...
Yeah,
I
there's
don't
always,
normally,
like, something.
I don't always read all of it, but there's some cool stuff where it's like, why did this weird Griffin School witcher kind of die in this abandoned castle? I don't know, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that stuff so much. Yeah. And I think it's just so much more, like, interesting, and it keeps you checking all those little places on the map. But Ubisoft has, like, forgotten that. So many of these companies
have. But, again, like, it's so hard to compare... I mean, I agree, but it's comparing apples and oranges to a plastic orange or a plastic apple.
Yeah.
Like, these Ubisoft games are just shit out so quickly.
It, pale imitation.
Yeah, it's a pale imitation.
Sure.
They're taking the function of how those games works, but there's no depth to it. And you can see that with, like, both Skyrim and Witcher. It took them 4 fucking years to make. And it's like, they took that time, and that's why those games are so deep and so good versus... You know, I certainly don't want to sound like I don't think the people who are working on these Ubisoft games or Mafia, that they're not as good, but it's just like...
These deadlines are killing
creativity. It's also the production, the larger, you know, the big brother production companies, like, they're just shelling these out, and it's sad because, like, I remember, like, the wonder, the, like, feeling of wonder I had when I was following Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that game and seeing that gaming footage and, like, climbing stuff, and I was just like... This is crazy. And that game, I feel like, really did, like, change a lot of stuff about open world games. And then it just kind of went to the dark side.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, just kill the, like, Assassin's Creed, like, Witcher 3 is the last Witcher we're going to see in at least 10 years, if we ever see another one.
Yeah.
They're already working on
Cyberpunk. But, like, Assassin's Creed just needs to end. Like, it was supposed to be a trilogy. When they first, first game, it was supposed to be a trilogy, and it was going to go past, present, future. And I know that's way early, and like, but like, at this point, it's just like, just like, kill this horse is on the ground, its leg is broken, like, shoot it in the head and move on.
People fucking buy it, man. They totally do. They love that thing. And like, I agree with you, Sean. I'm in the same sort of boat, and like, I'm off of Ubisoft so hard too, because I'm like, the fucking Division burned me so hard,
I have heard that it's... I've heard that, I'm not
tough.
Going back, but I've actually heard from people that, like, the Division's okay. I just don't
want to try to go back.
I tried going back, man. It's the same bullshit,
though.
Good. That's the thing.
I'm
it's
glad
the same
it's
bullshit.
Great.
Don't waste your time going back.
We played it a lot.
Yeah, we did play it a lot. It was really, really fun when it was there, but then you get to a certain point, you're like, oh, nope. There it is. There's that moment. There's that absolute quick moment where you're like, oh, fuck.
I'm done.
I'm done. Like, I'm totally checked out, you know?
People had their gripes about Destiny, but, like, Destiny came back and it brought a lot back to it, where, like, the Division, I mean, it looked really good and it was fun, and I got my money's worth. I'm not gonna say I didn't.
But
easily enough time to be worth it.
I don't need to go back to it. Same thing with Destiny. You suddenly play a different game, and then you go back to Destiny, and you're like, what am I doing? What is this?
I did go
Mafia,
back. Yeah.
Mafia 3, they had plenty of time to make it, right? Like, they spent years making this
game. I just don't understand.
It's just weird that, like, that, you know, I would expect that of, like, a lower quality sort of
product. I replayed Grand Theft Auto 5 recently and it was so good. Like, it's hard to compare to Rockstar or, like, CD Red and those kind of companies, because they're just, like, these, like, paragons of the industry that, like,
But at the same time, it's such a competitive market, right?
You have to, like... Yeah. But again, like you're saying, people bought the game. Like, Mafia 3 did great.
Yeah,
Mafia 3 arguably sold really well.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw some videos about people nitpicky about, like, graphics and how, like, the mirrors didn't work, which is kind of ridiculous for a AAA game. But, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't understand how they built up, like, I understand the quests, like, the side quests, the, like, checking the boxes. But, like, how could you not just put the overlying, like, really like compelling story quest to tie it together. Like the through line is kill these people so you can get to the, it's a pyramid scheme of a yeah. game. Like, you kill the people on the bottom, you move up. You know, like you're just trying to get to this guy and it's, and you know, they reveal like, there's this reveal where it's like, oh, well this mob boss is trying to go, he's trying to go straight and building this casino. And that's kind of like the like almost secret, like, ooh, now we know where to hit him. We're going to take down his casino he's building.
Oh, it's no.
Like, and it,
there's no moral kind of.
Yeah, it's more like we're going to hit him with in the money. Because hey, you robbed the bank, he robbed this bank and then he stole the money out from under you and killed him recently. So it's just.
So when you're talking about it and you mentioned the CIA guy, I'd rather have a story where you're the CIA guy yeah. and you have to make a choice of like, well, do I want to go straight or do I want to like be a little evil and like start taking stuff off the top and like being corrupt that way? And it's like, that's so much more interesting. I mean, it's not like yeah. Tyranny has crazy gameplay, but mm-hmm. the idea right. that there's probably compelling world to be in there to be challenged oh, exactly. that way.
Right.
Yeah, you that's know? The thing. I have entire missions that are just sort of me like scheming my way through like a series of interactions because it's like, okay, I've got two factions ready to kill each other, yeah. and I got to make them work together, and I got to not get killed.
Yeah.
All at the same time. And that it, there's like an interesting tension there. It's kind of removed when you could just be like, you know, like, shut up, blam, blam, yeah. kill everybody, blam, yeah, blam. Yeah. You know, like, all right, great, thanks.
And there's like, you know, it just, they've really streamlined it where it's like, you know, you can pull out your, you don't have a phone, but you have a walkie-talkie,
oh,
and you
Jesus.
you can get a car delivered to you Booyah. Anywhere you want. You can get a van will pull up, and you can buy Ooh. Guns wherever you want. You know,
this is not how the 60s worked.
The
yeah, what a period piece this is.
It's just yeah, I was just like, it was just it bummed me out, and I was just like, I can't. I was like, I think after this, I just went back to Witcher. I started playing Witcher 3 because I was like. This game, I just played.
It's so much more satisfying. Yeah, than it's super. Anything. Is,
yeah. I mean, I'm so excited for. You guys saw the trailer for Red Dead, like Redemption.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It's gonna be great. Let's even talk about. So why does Titanfall work then? Why does Titanfall 2 work? Because again, it's the same situation. It's not like things happening in
All
Titanfall
right.
2
That's true.
Like yeah. make like are you know mind blowing. But it's the combination where it all seems to work. And like Clayton was talking to me initially, he said, it's funny. And I'm like, all right, well, Clayton's laughing at this game.
Yeah.
I think it's probably pretty compelling and funny. The characters are, you know.
Yeah, have you played the campaign?
I played a bunch of it. I haven't finished it. But the character's kind of silly. The campaign's like fun and it really yeah. like is an expose of like, this is what makes this game as a shooter different. And I agree with you, like the Titans are fun, but like, you know, they just add a little bit more, and you're not in them too much, like, no. and you don't have to be. You can also just have them follow you around. You don't have to be in it. You
well,
know?
I think that's the one of the biggest things about this game that I really enjoy is how limited the use of the Titan is,
yeah.
especially in the campaign.
Yeah,
it's great restraint. It really yeah. shows, like, to me, like, okay, they were really trying to show you, like, it's about the characters, it's yeah. about the gameplay, not about. Giant robots punching yeah. each other all the time.
Yeah, and sometimes you want to jump in the Titan because you're like, I'm just tired of jumping puzzles. And you get in the Titan, you're like, oh, good, this is refreshing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, all right, I'm big and I'm hulky. And then you jump out and you're like, I'm a little bird. I can yeah. fly anywhere. This is great. You know, and it's like it has all of these great little things. Like I loved in the moment where like, all right, well, the time travel thing doesn't work anymore. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's...
That was so, yeah.
That was so
cool.
Creative.
But also, yeah. you don't need that for the whole game.
No.
That mission where you're going through that factory.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, like you're following the production yeah. line. There's even a multiplayer map in it, but just like that, all the set piece is so it's so nice to see a AAA game spend the money on a good single player
yes.
experience.
In what is clearly supposed to be a multiplayer
yeah.
game,
yes.
yeah,
that helps you learn how to play the multiplayer because they know that that's what's going to do.
Yes.
It's the same thing in Battlefront. Is or Battlefield, not Battlefield. Battlefront, excuse me. Battlefield.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Kellen loves it.
No,
you heard
no.
it here first, folks.
Battlefield is a really great way because it's like there's not this like overarching, like, we got to save the world. There's all these smaller stories.
Like vignettes. I heard
yeah.
about it. Did you like, you've played both games, though. I played the beta, like, I know they're totally separate games, but like, what are you getting out of Battlefield 1 or how do you feel like they've like made it better from Battlefield 4, whatever
I see.
Last
I never
one.
Played 4 or
never
3. The
four.
Last Battlefield I played was Bad Company.
Okay.
I really liked Bad
People
Company.
People really liked Bad Company.
Yeah, Bad Company was really, really fun. And I like that squad-based sort of like, all right, cool, here are the five guys that even if I don't know them, we're going to stick together
mm-hmm.
and we're going to try and do something like being able to play a different class. I really like that way. Like I said before, the objective base is really fun. But I also like having a bigger map that I can like, great, cool, there's a tank right here, and there's a plane in the air, and I got to deal with anti-air guns, and there's just different factors that make it feel like a little bit more, I mean, and real is not the right word, but like anytime I play Battle...
Immersive? I don't know.
I guess it's more immersive that way, but Battlefield, I've not played a single multiplayer match and had the same thing happen because the weather's so dynamic.
Right.
The world changes so much in terms of like, all right, well, shells are falling out of the sky and what normally would be a building is just rubble. And so like there are things that are happening in it that I'm like, all right, well, I'm not getting bored with the multiplayer because I'm not going. Like, when I'm playing Destiny, I'm like, all right, I know exactly where to go and where to be. And if there's someone there, it's like a little bit more of a chess match. This one feels chaotic. And I do really like that. There was an article on Kotaku kind of talking about how the multiplayer represents what real war is like in terms of like you suddenly spawn in and you're dead 3 seconds later. And some people really hate that. And to me, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking what war is. Like you're just, you turn a corner and you're like, pop, and you're like, oh, I'm dead.
I heard about the first story mission, how that really like makes that apparent. And it's supposed to be hard hitting where you're just kind of,
Yeah. And it does a good point in saying like, you are not supposed to survive this. And it gives the statistics being like, this is how many people died in this war. There's no way you're going to get out of this alive.
I do like that about Battlefield. I played Battlefield 2 back in the day and like loved that game so much because it was like you're saying, huge world. Like it was modern, set in modern times. Like these huge cities, like climbing on top of like a scale, construction crane and sniping people from on top of that crane was like so satisfying. Like. And, like, that, I think that was the first time Battlefield 2 really, I think, was one of the early kind of unlock systems of weapons and stuff. And then 2142, which I don't, if you haven't played it.
Oh, I love that, man. That's cool. So much time.
It was a future. It was set in the future.
Oh.
And
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
They had 2142, they had this cool game type that, like, computers were not ready for with I don't know what they called them, but they had these two giant spaceships that were your home bases, and you could, like, you could launch out of them. Like you had,
it was nuts.
You had
man.
Planes that you were flying, and then you didn't have to land. You could drop ship out of the planes. Like you had hover tanks. It was like so innovative.
What? Yeah,
and I wish they had like taken that and I wish, I hope someday they'll do another one because it was such a cool setting and all the, it was just, it was the future and it was cool.
It was great. Yeah. I mean, there's something really satisfying as well as like, again, I'm like, I'm trying to get better at being a scout. So I'm like, I'm sniping a lot. So I'm like, you're sitting there and it's like, all right, cool. I know that this is how the bullet goes, but I can see that the wind is blowing really hard this way. So I have to factor that in terms of like how I'm going to be shooting.
Yeah.
So when you get sniped from across the world, you're like, damn, that guy is good. As opposed to when I was playing Titanfall, and this is not a criticism, but it's just like the sort of gameplay in that game where I'm like, all right, you just have to play this game a ton because it just moves so quickly and just like go.
Oh, it's so crazy. Nuts.
I was playing this one game. I'm trying to remember it. I was going to look it up. But a lot of the early games I played were like on early Steam, like Half-Life mods.
Sure, tons of Half-Life
mods. And there's one that I looked up recently. It's called Hostile Intent. And it's this like SWAT based, kind of like Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six Siege, kind of like that, but like just like, you know, no HUD. You know, you get shot a couple times, you're dead. Like very realistic. Oh. You're like breaching into like hotels, and it was so much fun. I was playing this game, trying to remember what it's called, but it's based on that. Where like there's like people trying to infiltrate, and then there's guards protecting, and they have like a very kind of realistic gun system, and they have this like very semi-complex like snappy like signals where, and they have location based audio.
Oh, wow.
and they have what? This balance system that's really weird, like you can slip and it's kind of hilarious because you could be jumping on a desk and then they have a kind of comical like ear, and then you just literally like you ragdoll and fall into the ground.
Oh my God.
I'll look it up and figure it out, but it's like games like that which are like shooters that, like I don't understand why. I mean, people play Modern Warfare the same way they play Madden. It's the same game. They're getting what they want, and like that's what they want, which is fair. And it's kind of like there's this silent minority of video gamers that just want that. But unfortunately, like just like with the Assassin's Creed games, it just promotes this kind of just like shelling out of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason people continue going to McDonald's and eating Pizza Hut because it's the same thing, and that's what they want. They don't want to have something new. They just want to eat their gray food.
Well, in the wake of last week's election results, I think we all know what you mean, Kellen. America is a fucking waste. I love this country.
In the air, I was visiting a friend in the Netherlands this past week. I left on the 8th at night, and they announced the election results in the air in a different language. I heard Donald Trump. I kind of thought like, maybe he lost. And it was like, nope. And I was like, huh, all right, well.
You are landing in a different world.
I'm landing in a different world.
Can't imagine learning about it on an airplane. That is nuts.
The game's called Intruder.
Intruder. Okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's kind of goofy, but it's real cheap. It's just a PC game that someone's just making himself, and it has like a very small dedicated community. Sure. Yeah.
Well, Sean, thanks for coming on and talking about Mafia. I mean, I think we're all in agreement that organized crime doesn't pay.
No. Listen, that's right. If I can believe anything about those movies we've seen, it's that organized crime, kind of a bad scene.
Kind of a bad scene.
Kind of not where you want to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man. None of those movies is like, hey, man, you know what, though? It's great.
everyone was good friends, and we all learned a great lesson. We had a great summer being in the mob.
Yeah. It's the letter they leave on the vice principal's desk. Yeah.
That's the other thing. The whole story is like, this happened during the summer of 1976. The whole time they're just like, it was a specific summer. So it's like they're just really pushing, just like, how'd this happen so quickly? And I haven't got the end, so I don't know what happens. But like, I'm curious.
Right.
I might have to end it just to see like what does this guy get his comeuppance and live happy?
You're a brave soul
after?
For wanting to see it through.
76.
So, Sean, where can people find you on the internet or in Chicago?
Oh, I don't know. Not doing a ton at the Bug House sometimes my indie team, cautiously optimistic. But other than that, just kind of chilling out right now.
Anything you want to promote? I'm going to continue promoting Orange Juice.
Kellen's new cross to bear is that he is going to be the last apologist for Orange Juice.
Kind of a sugary drink, though.
Well, you know what? That's if you're drinking a pint. That's the thing. If you drink a big pint of it, it's going to be sugary. But guess what? You drink a smaller glass of it.
See, this is what happens.
I'm going to promote tangerine-flavored liqueur.
Oh, very good. I'm going to have to try that one.
Fan of that. Pretty good. Better than orange.
All right. There we go.
Better than orange. Raves. Sean Fezzik. And late 90s, Wednesdays at 10:30 at IO. Come check it out. I've been gone the past couple weeks because last week I was sick, and the week before that was the World Series, so no one was in attendance at that
show. Ding, ding, baseball town.
Yep. So I'll be back this week, hopefully, barring anything crazy happening. You can usually get a free ticket if you say the code word of Clayton was supposed to. You should be like, hey, Clayton was supposed to leave a ticket for me, like a comp or something.
But say it a lot slower, right? Like,
yeah,
really
like,
drag it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like you're
sure.
trying to, you're reaching,
not a lot
you know,
of eye contact.
You realize it's too much to ask, you know, and then they'll probably give you a free ticket.
Very good, very good.
That's it from us. Kellen, anything else you want? Anything else you want to promote other than
besides
orange juice?
Yeah. No, man. Folks, we're going to get through it this next year. We'll see what fucking happens. But
He's talking about the election now.
No, I'm talking about the orange juice.
He's still talking about orange juice.
Like, that's the thing. People are a little worried that this and hurricane season approaching, we might have another 2010 where there was a big hurricane and it wiped out a lot of the oranges. But folks, we're going to get through this.
Okay.
We're going to have some good oranges.
All right.
God, Clayton, what's happening in the world?
I can't help you here. If you came here for reassurances about the election, you came to the exact wrong place.
But if you want to hear about the election, you should listen to Tim Dunn's podcast, 15 Minutes with Lincoln.
Yes, Andrew Jackson was on there recently. Sounds a lot like me. Not a coincidence. I was playing him.
Wait a second, what?
No, nothing. Wait, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
That's it. Blackout, blackout!
Bye, folks.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today. And go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.